What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 308. In this episode, I'll discuss the causes, treatment, and prevention of stridor. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode308. Stridor is an abnormal inspiratory sound and is a sign of airway obstruction that should require immediate attention. Stridor can be caused by a mass or foreign body in the upper airway or by laryngeal edema. Laryngeal edema post-endotracheal extubation is the most likely cause of stridor in an adult patient in the ICU. Stridor can indicate impending respiratory failure and should be treated as a medical emergency. If I hear a stridorous patient or hear other clinicians saying a patient has stridor, I do the following immediately. Number one, bring 2 ampules of racemic epinephrine and 8 milligrams of IV dexamethasone to the bedside immediately. Number two, observe the patient, including their mental status and vital signs. If the patient with stridor is drowsy, intubation will be immediately necessary. And number three, I bring to the bedside medications to support endotracheal intubation if I think they're going to be needed. So for racemic epinephrine via the nebulizer, this causes vasoconstriction and decreased blood flow, which diminishes edema formation. Randomized controlled trials that prove efficacy of epinephrine in post-extubation laryngeal edema in adults are lacking. There's no consensus about the potentially effective dosage of nebulized epinephrine. Rebound edema is known to occur, and the patient should be monitored for this. At my institution, the respiratory therapists like to be able to repeat a dose of nebulized epinephrine, so I make sure to have 2 ampules of 2.25% 0.5 mLs racemic epinephrine available. Corticosteroids reduce edema by downregulating inflammatory response and decreasing capillary vessel dilation and permeability. The most effective dose has not been determined. I use 8 milligrams of dexamethasone based on prescribing patterns at my institution. Now, as far as helium administration can also be considered. So I like explaining Heliox to my pharmacy students because it's a great way to illustrate how many therapies can be boiled down to simple high school level science. Air is approximately 20% oxygen, 80% nitrogen. Replacing the nitrogen with helium results in a lower density gas, and because stridor is caused by turbulence in the airway, using a lower density gas causes less turbulence and therefore is beneficial in stridor. At my hospital, our standard concentration for Heliox, or helium plus oxygen, is 30% oxygen, 70% helium. Evidence of its usefulness in adults with laryngeal edema is limited to case reports and non-randomized trials. If stridor does not resolve, endotracheal intubation will be necessary before the patient experiences respiratory failure. Intubation in the setting of stridor is often difficult as a result of the airway obstruction that's causing the stridor. You can check out pharmacyjoe.com/episode15 for more about the pharmacist's role and expectations during endotracheal intubation. Corticosteroid administration before elective extubation has been used to prevent post-extubation stridor and re-intubation. And typically, this is only going to be done in a patient who's been identified as having high risk for post-extubation stridor. Multiple steroid regimens have been studied to prevent post-extubation stridor and subsequent reintubation. To my knowledge, no one regimen has been proven superior. 3 examples of regimens you could use are dexamethasone 5 mg IV, Q6 hours times 4 doses, starting the day prior to extubation, methylprednisolone 20 mg IV, Q4 hours times 4 doses, prior to extubation, and methylprednisolone 40 milligrams IV once 4 hours prior to extubation. The authors of a recent meta-analysis concluded administration of prophylactic corticosteroids before elective extubation was associated with significant reductions in the incidence of post-extubation airway events and reintubation with few adverse events. So it's reasonable to select patients at high risk for airway obstruction who may benefit from prophylactic corticosteroids. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.